Welcome to April's IT Modernization Insights, sponsored by Leidos. Now here's your host, Eric White.
Modernizing a federal agency's technology requires input from many voices in different fields. U.S. Digital Services works to recruit the country's top technology talent to improve how the government operates in the digital era. To do that, USDS has deployed teams into different agencies to tackle their most critical challenges. To get a better scope of things, Federal News Radio's Jason Miller spoke with Stephanie Neal. She's the executive director of the USDS team at the Homeland Security Department.
The DHS Digital Service employs a team of digital service experts from top private sector companies. And these are engineers, these are designers, these are product managers, but also procurement folks, and other government partners that we engage with. So we've worked across USCIS, CBP, FEMA, TSA, within the Management Directorate, and with partners at the White House, State Department, HHS, and DOD since our founding in September 2015. So our employees serve temporary tours of service ranging from 3 months to 4 years. And as you may know already, we maintain a very close relationship with the USDS headquarters in OMB, as well as the other digital service teams.
I was going to jump in and say the one thing about what you guys do is really bring that expertise into the bureaus and really help them learn to take these approaches, take these methods, and apply them. I think that's probably is that kind of your biggest goal, not to get things done. You know, you can modernize all day, but the teaching of the modernization efforts.
Correct. So we actually have four core objectives. So on the one hand, we are here to transform the critical services, the department's most critical services. So we apply best practices from human-centered design and engineering to meet the needs of the real people. But on the other hand, you're right, we're here to bring best technical practices into public service and hopefully effect some culture change. We also try to incubate common infrastructure for digital projects so that when we leave a project area, the team is better off and has better hardware and tools in order to continue executing on their mission. And we also work with government folks to help rethink how they buy digital services.
Now, when you talk about better hardware, better tools, are we talking cloud? Are we talking about agile, teaching people how to do agile and DevOps? Or are we talking about more specific, different types of tools?
So I would say all of the above. But we do have one initiative that we call Project Trio, which is actually bringing MacBooks, into rotation within DHS so that, software engineers and designers can get access to tools that they need that they can't currently access with government-furnished equipment, like Sketch, and as well as, obviously helping them move to cloud and establish GitHub repositories and whatnot.
So MacBooks, it's interesting to hear that because you'd think, what's the big deal now? I remember a decade, 15 years ago, I would talk to a chief information officer and they'd be like, well, we're testing out MacBooks. And especially in the scientific community, they'd say, well, the scientists want MacBooks or they want Unix type of a base on a computer, or Unix or Linux. And I kind of haven't heard that idea that, well, we're bringing them MacBooks now. Is it just that's just not the culture of using? People use PCs and people use, the more traditional Windows and people just don't use Macs, they don't think to, or why do you, what's the impetus to bring in the MacBooks?
So what's interesting is I'd say that the department as a whole has come to rely on PCs, and obviously, they buy an inventory in such large quantities that it probably simplifies things for them to focus on just one OS. But what's interesting is that within the components, so like, for example, USCIS as well as CBP, we've seen sort of a grassroots move to MacBooks for developers and designers. And I think it's just, in the private industry, we're so used to, you walk into a private industry company, any company, and they're going to hand you pretty much without fail a MacBook just, due to the tool set that you can get with that. Whereas that's not the case, obviously, within government. It's very PC-based. And it's interesting that, the CIOs within the components had started to actually move themselves. They saw the need and started to move themselves. And so what we are doing is we're coming in at the headquarters level And we're helping to develop a DHS-wide image that can be, you know, used within any component and across components.
All right, very good. Now, I know it's the second time when I've talked to someone from DHS just recently. I got a little bit of news. I heard about Windows 10 coming to DHS as well. So two nice tidbits there. I appreciate that. Something to follow up with the DHS folks. So let's get into more details around the work you guys are doing. All right, let's start with the USCIS. They have the big program called ELLIS. It's been a big success, but also a huge lift. Talk a little bit about what you're doing with ELLIS.
Absolutely. So the Electronic Immigration System, aptly nicknamed ELLIS, we've actually been engaged on that program since summer 2014, and that work actually predates the existence of USDS. USDS was officially created a couple months later by President Obama. So since that time, we've helped them move a number of benefits online, both to an MVP status, as well as we've had a chance to work with them to iterate and optimize and realize bigger wins on some of the benefit lines. So USCIS receives nearly 1 million applications for naturalization every year, and just this past fall, ELLIS started to process these naturalization applications. So ELLIS has been used to complete over 5.58 million cases from various benefits, and currently will be processing up to 50% of the agency's workload by this summer. We've visited more than 20 field offices across the United States while working on this project, and we've sat, you know, shoulder to shoulder with the developers who are actually building the product. So a little more on N-400 or naturalization. Of the applications submitted in February 2018, 33% of them were filed online. And since launching naturalization, 10% of all applications have been filed online.
So all these numbers, let me go back a little bit, are impressive. The fact is that you have, and USCIS is still processing, when you said the old naturalization cases, are we talking about the old system or what when you say old naturalization cases?
So we recently migrated. So as I said, in the fall we had a product launch where ELLIS can now process naturalization cases. Prior to that, all of the naturalization cases, whether submitted via paper or online, were being processed in a system called Claims 4, and it's sort of a partial data capture, hybrid paper digital. Digital system, right? So we were still shipping around loads of paper. With this move to ELLIS, you know, as I mentioned, now about 50% of the agency's overall workload will be processed online, which is drastically reducing the amount of paper that needs to be shipped from office to office.
How did you guys set up ELLIS to take this such a huge scale, right? You're going from 34% to 50%. That's a huge jump, but it's also, I'm sure the goal is to get it to 75%, you know, even more. How do you deal with the scale issue to ensure that it can handle all this extra work?
So we're processing by benefit line, and we prioritized by volume and by complexity. So first we started with the I-90, which is renewing your green card, and that is about 250,000 cases a year, but it's also one of the more simple, the simple benefits, right, because it's, you know, it's not petitioning for a brand new green card. It's just renewing a benefit that you've already earned. So we helped them get the MVP for this online in 2015, going into 2016. And then we actually just this past year helped them create some improvements that now allow a little less than half of all I-90 applications to be batch processed, which means that adjudicators are spending time. Basically, it means that computers are doing computer things and running all the checks that, like, really shouldn't need a human's eyes on it. And it's basically, putting the applications that actually require human touch on a different track, which is a significantly smaller portion.
That's fascinating about the I-90, and it's another big win. I was thinking more about the scale, about the technology behind ELLIS, and whether it's in the cloud or whether it's using these automations to process information more quickly, because when you go from 34% to 50%, that's a big jump. So how are you dealing with the increased workload, I guess, is maybe the better question.
So I guess first, you know, we built this benefit line using industry best practices, so including agile processes, which of course inherent in that is user research, usability testing, automated testing, automated CI/CD pipelines, monitoring systems, code reviews. We also worked with them on a phased rollout, which is why it's going from about 34% today up to about 50%, which will be the full naturalization caseload by the summer. So each month, you know, additional adjudicators are taking on naturalization in Ellis, and you know, more cases are coming through.
So you'll be able to see if, you know, in May, as an example, if Ellis starts to slow down, has some latency, you can fix it right then and there as more people come on, versus the big bang that could happen in June or July, and then you go, uh-oh, we have a problem.
Exactly right. And for context, in early fall, we were more about 20%. So, you know, we've already seen that increase, and we've been keeping a close eye on dashboards and our monitoring systems to make sure that everything is going as predicted. We're also collecting a lot of user feedback, even now, you know, as new offices are using Ellis for this benefit line. And, you know, we're traveling out to different field offices and sitting with the users and making sure finding any sticking points that may still be remaining.
And what's the reviews been like? Are people happy with this modernization?
Yes. People, adjudicators are extremely happy. So as you know, the naturalization launch, the initial launch was pretty rocky. But even then, people liked it. They said, like, this is wonderful when it works. So, you know, we had to go back to the drawing board and fix a few key features. And then now that we've relaunched it, we've been getting a lot of positive feedback.
All right, always good news when you can take a step back and fix it. Can you just go through maybe one or two things that you had to change from the previous launch?
Sure. So I would say building trust in the background checks. There was concern that the background checks weren't coming back correctly, and that adjudicators weren't getting the data that they needed. So actually, our team working with USCIS actually built a validation tool that shows that can compare all the different names and provide reassurance to the adjudicator that all the proper checks have been done and that they have all the information that they need, all while saving them a ton of paperwork that they were doing manually before.
Stephanie Neal is the executive director of the digital service at the Homeland Security Department, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. More from Neal after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
IT modernization, a far-reaching concept when you think about it. That's why Leidos has rolled out a clear-cut, user-centric approach to IT modernization that boosts productivity while securing the IT backend. Learn how Leidos is advancing the digital workplace with proven solutions in collaboration, mobility, cloud, DevOps, data centers, and network modernization. Visit Leidos.com/modernize to see the approach. That's Leidos.com/modernize.
After modernizing the electronic immigration system, there is still plenty for the U.S. Digital Services team at the Homeland Security Department to do. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller spoke with the team's executive director, Stephanie Neal, to find out about other projects they're working on.
Next up is going to be actually the most complex benefit line, which is adjustment of status. That's going to be interesting because if you're familiar with the process, there's, you know, a ton of different ways someone can adjust and actually become a legal permanent resident. You know, there's a lot of interviews with a number of different people. So, you know, even just a family-based adjustment can include, like, a translator and a lawyer and, you know, all sorts of representation. And this all needs to translate smoothly into the digital world, which is going to be a big challenge, but one that I think transformation is up to.
Go through, if you can, a little bit on how do you, since this is one of the hardest areas, how do you work through it? What are some of the steps you guys are going to take to address the complexity and ensure that you have successful rollouts?
So working with the transformation program teams to adopt rapid prototyping and really putting a heavy emphasis on the user research and the usability testing and the prototyping just early on before things even move into code, and just making sure that they really get it right and get it tested, as early and as often as possible.
Seems so simple, doesn't it? But it really, it's part of the culture change. You get people moving in a specific direction and have them understand that, hey, you just can't throw some requirements on the board and walk away. It's a constant update, a constant change. Has that been the biggest change for USCIS and Ellis to understand that you're never really done? It's never just, I'll write the requirements and get out of the way?
Yeah, I think that certainly has been one of the biggest challenges and one of the things we've been really trying to help drive home with the program. That and probably just the importance of design, you know, explaining that design isn't just, you know, pixel pushing. And it's not even just about, you know, making sure you're solving the problem right, but also making sure you're solving the right problem. And, you know, design doesn't really exist, I would say, across government, maybe in, you know, tiny pockets here and there. So I feel like that's a major value that we as USCIS bring when we join a program, when we join an engagement, is just design thinking.
And I think that's one of the benefits digital services, one of the big credits digital services has been getting to kind of change the culture of the federal government is bringing the users, the stakeholders. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I talk to CIOs and they say, well, now we have a customer service section of the office or a customer focus section. And I think that's the difference why they're successful when you talk about modernization versus years and years and, you know, decades of intermittent success or fits and starts around projects. I mean, Ellis is a good example. This is not a new project. This has been ongoing for quite a while, and you guys are probably making the most progress in the last few years than USCIS had made previously.
Mm-hmm. But I will say that I have noticed a turn within the program office itself as well. People are really leaning into to modernization. They're interested in using and adopting industry best practices. They really value having us around. And I don't know that it was like that before. So I am very hopeful and optimistic that culture change is actually happening, and that, you know, before long, like, I don't even see USCIS really needing us. I feel like they're really getting on their feet.
Stephanie Neal is the executive director of the digital service at the Homeland Security Department, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Hear the rest of the interview after one more break. I'm Eric White.
IT modernization, a far-reaching concept when you think about it. That's why Leidos has rolled out a clear-cut, user-centric approach to IT modernization that boosts productivity while securing the IT back-end. Learn how Leidos is advancing the digital workplace with proven solutions in collaboration, mobility, cloud, DevOps, data centers, and network modernization. Visit Leidos.com/modernize to see the approach. That's Leidos.com/modernize.
We continue our interview with Stephanie Neal, Executive Director of the Digital Service Team at the Homeland Security Department.
I want to shift gears a little bit, Stephanie, because you guys also worked with CBP. I want to talk a little bit about their online Trusted Traveler Program application. You guys redesigned that. Give me a little bit of background about that program and where you are now with it.
So this past fall, in October, CBP and our digital service team successfully helped launch the Trusted Traveler Program application. So prior to that launch, it actually was a bunch of separate products that we worked to combine to simplify for the user. So there's Global Entry, Nexus, which is basically if you're frequently crossing the northern border, Sentry, which is if you're frequently crossing the southern border, and a system called FAST. So we helped them improve the user experience by completely redesigning the front end, and we delivered a scalable, modernized back end, and we did it, and we moved the application to the cloud within 9 months, which was significantly less than they had initially anticipated. And this was actually CBP's first major application that they moved to the cloud.
how big of a lift was this comparably? I mean, I don't know if you can compare it to USCIS, but I've had, you know, lots of time to cover Global Entry, Century, Nexus, and all of those systems well worked. I can only imagine that this was as complex as some of the other things you guys have been working on.
So I would say this is certainly less complex than Ellis, which is really a system of systems. This was more like a CRUD app that, you know, stores in the back end. We did integrate with login.gov, if you're familiar. I don't know if you're speaking with our login.gov team. So while the app itself is comparably simpler than Ellis, the scale of users is still huge. In the first 90 days, users created more than 1 million accounts and submitted over 400,000 completed applications.
That's incredible. Again, another area where we talk scale, you have to be able to, you don't know how much use you'll get, and so you have to be prepared for it, which is why the cloud can play such a big role. What were some of the biggest challenges when you guys moved forward with the CBP Trusted Traveler? Was it the integration of the back end, or was it really getting the front end right? Because what do users want? How to make it easy on you and me when we want to get into the Trusted Traveler program? Where did you see the complexities in this effort?
So for us, so it was a lot of government partners that we were working on for this project. We actually focused mostly on the helping with the back end as well as the login.gov integration. Since it was the first major application that CBP had moved to the cloud, we wanted to make sure, and the fact that it was a highly used public-facing one, we wanted to make sure that it was done correctly and there weren't, you know, security vulnerabilities or other major defect. I think I would definitely go back to what we were talking about earlier and say I think the culture change aspect was probably our biggest challenge here. So, you know, creating a culture around testing while you're building and writing unit tests and that sort of thing was definitely, there was definitely a learning curve there as well as a cultural curve, actually, is more how I would describe it.
When you look at CBP now, again, the buy-in was, how difficult was the buy-in? Was the cloud something that they could get their head around right away saying, yeah, we see why we need to do that? Or was there still a lot of anxiety around moving a very important app, though public facing, to the cloud?
Yeah. So I would say the CBP CIO wholly embraced it, as he did. You know, he also was very welcoming to our team. It was more sort of once we worked down, you know, with through the layers where, you know, people had gotten used to doing things a certain way, and we were coming in and, you know, trying to push them to move faster and push them to deliver and push them to talk to users, which, you know, they weren't against any of that. It just was not sort of, you know, business as usual, right? And I will say, you know, 100%, CBP recognized the need to enhance the user experience of this online application process. And, you know, they definitely did want to redesign the front end and make it better for users.
Stephanie Neal is the executive director of the digital service at the Homeland Security Department, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Find this entire interview online. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search Insight of the Month. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to this week's IT Modernization Insight Show, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search IT Modernization.